I want to look at a verse in Philippians, 4th chapter, and we'll pick it up with 9 in the 9th verse, maybe. 4 and 9 of Philippians. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at least your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. For me, and I'm just going to tell you to start off with, this is probably more like a daily devotion than it is than a preaching service this morning. For me, this scripture is one of the proofs of the grace of God. I think it would take a lot of grace of God and prove the power of God to be able to make this statement completely. I mean, if you think about what Paul is saying here, that would take a lot of grace of God to be able to say that, seriously say that, and that be in your heart and life. So I want to have a little bit of background about it, and again, just for our encouragement, Paul wrote the Philippian letter when he was in prison. And so if you can imagine that statement, that I have learned to be content in whatever state that I'm in, was a direct reference. He wanted, it seems there was a number of objectives of the letter of Philippians, but one of the things that he wanted to say to the Philippian people, that letter, what he wanted to transpire was, is that I'm okay. Because you can imagine what they was thinking. Here's Paul. We want him to come minister to us. We need him here and all these things. And Paul's been arrested and he's put in jail. And now he's not going to have the liberty to do these things. And so they must have been feeling that. And their prayers and their concern for Paul would have been off the charts. What are they going to do to him? What kind of position are he is? And so one of the things that he wanted to do in the letter of Philippians, he wanted to encourage them that I'm okay. That because I'm in a place here, I've learned how to be content. And I think it's interesting to note this. Why do you suppose Paul used the word I have learned? Why do you think that he said that to the Philippians? That why didn't he just say, I'm content to be in here? But there's a different expression, isn't there? There's a lot different expression in there, because I believe that as we journey through life, I don't think we have everything at one time, and I have got it, so therefore I can translate that into anything I do like a robot. It doesn't work that way. I may say through prayer for activity and through things, I might get victory over today's episodes. But it doesn't mean something that can't come tomorrow that is different than that. So Paul, his expression here was that they threw me in jail. I'm in prison here, and that's not a comfortable place. All the dreams and things that I thought in my mind I'd be doing and all those things has come to an end. I'm here in prison. I go where they say. I do what they say. I'm restricted in all of those things, and it doesn't seem like a good place for me to be in, but I've learned. It means that he had to apply himself to it. Sometimes you're tested with that. Sometimes you may be content for a while, but then you're not content. Or maybe you get to thinking about I know I'm affected by my thoughts. I'm assuming you are too. If you get to meditating on something for long enough, you can really desire it more and more. You can desire it more and more. And so he could have been there and got, well, I'm in the hands of the Lord. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be and all that. And then he gets to thinking about, I sure love those people at Philippi. And oh, brother so-and-so, he always did make me laugh. And I'd like to see them again. And all of a sudden, I'm not content to be here. I wish I could get out of here. But he said, but I have learned. You know, there's a number of things that can happen into your life and it rocks your life. And you get into situations that's hard. Well, I'll give you an example. I went up to the cabin and so on. I thought I'd go in and check and see the cabin. And the door latch was still one open, but I walk into the cabin. It's a disaster. My pictures are all knocked down off of the shelf. The log up there, I had all these pictures up there. I had these horseshoe pitch and trophies on a line over here. They're all knocked off on the bed and laying in the floor and on the bed. And there was bottles laying over here, stuff knocked off the counter. And the whole place was just a disaster. It's a mess. Looked like something's going to happen. And I was like, what happened in here? Wasn't like that when I left. Something happened in here. And I got to looking around and all of a sudden there was one picture left over there kind of cocked a little bit, and I saw this tail hanging down. And I went and looked, and there was a big old curled up black snake up there. Talk about being content, Brother Keith. Content. I'm going to have to learn. This is the idea. I'm going to have to learn now. Well, I said, he's got to come out of there. Okay, you coming out of there. You've done it. I don't know if he was chasing mice in there. I don't know what he did to cause so much disturbance, but he sure caused a lot of disturbance in there. Well, I got him out of there and all, but then I got to thinking, I think I'd be okay. I could go stay up there and all that stuff. But then I got to thinking, I wonder if Linda'd stay up there with me now. Because, really, there's an idea. Well, he's gone, but there's an idea of these situations that you get into that you don't predict those in life. You don't get victory over that before it ever happens. Paul said, I learned. And I believe that he was talking about the situation of him being in prison. And he was saying to the Philippians, I'm okay because I have learned that this is where God put me. And by the grace of God, I can be a contented, I don't have to be at disturbance, I don't have to be uneasy, I don't have to be anxious. I have learned how to be content. I am content in Christ. The only conversations I can have right now is with Him, but I am contented here in this situation that God put me in. And I think that's a key to it in our lives that we say, I believe that God put me in this situation. And so therefore I can be content. I can be content here to live the way I should be able to live. I find myself, if I can say this, I find myself not being content a lot in my life. But the apostle here is trying to tell us you need to learn. You need to learn as you go how to the things that you can't change, the things you can't do. How is he going to change this circumstance? What do you do in the middle of the circumstances that you can't change? You show the grace of God. And so I think about the things that, like, there'll be times with me. I'm a homebody by nature, but I got called to go out everywhere over my lifetime. In the Lord, I got called to go. And there's times that I would be out doing this, and a part of me wanting, I'm not contented because I'm always wanting to be home to do things. And there was always a little bit of thing. And I think what Paul was trying to say is by the grace of God that you can learn how to be content with this, put this aside, commit this. Commit this element here that you think is going to cause contentment. Do you know what happened to me many times? I would be discontented when I was out and couldn't wait to get home. And the next day after I got home, I was like, oh, well, it's not exactly what I thought. I kind of liked to be at the meeting yet. I'm trying to find something, but I never learned to be content. I need to learn. Lord, teach us. Help us to know. Learning sometimes in education, you got to take a test sometimes to say whether or not you passed it or not. Sometimes you need something to stretch you a little bit, or sometimes there needs to be a motivation. There needs to be something to motivate you into it. And I've never been very motivated in school, but I recognize the motivation here. So I'm thinking about the blessings of being able to learn. Being able to learn how to be content. And he said, in whatever state I find myself in, I have learned. It doesn't mean state of West Virginia. It means whatever position of life, whatever state of being I'm in. So now I'm in jail looking to be tried. I've learned to be content in that situation. Other things would be, well, the ship, I'm in a shipwreck. But I've learned in a shipwreck how to be content, how to be satisfied with what God is doing in my life. And the thought made me to think about the story of Job. And it doesn't actually use the language of it, but again, it was one of my most inspiring characters in the Bible to me was Job, because you talk about, the statement is that you've seen the patience of Job. That's the phrase. You've seen the patience of Job. That Job, through all that he went through, he kept an even contented attitude with what he was going through. And when all of this thing happened to him, I find it a great encouragement to me that Job did not murmur against God. He didn't charge God foolishly, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He committed himself to the situations that happened in his life, and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Should I thank God for his blessings to me and yet not thank him for taking them away? Should I not have a place in my life to where God is real and God knows best? And you know, we put God in this place in our lives, and I had this thought recently I want to share with you, but sometimes we have an intellectual idea about it, we place it there, but we separate ourselves away from it sometimes, away from the thing that we believe. We believe that God, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but we believe God is a living God, right? We believe that God is watching over the affairs of our life, right? We believe that nothing can happen in your life unless God permits it. We have all these beliefs that talks about how God particularly works in our lives and how God's a part of our life. But how many times do we separate that from what we're really feeling and doing? That all of a sudden, I'm not saying that, okay, Lord, you want me to do this. All of a sudden, this is somehow a haphazard event of history, and this thing befell on me, follow me, and I got to do whatever I got. And we leave the idea out that God, this is what God really is and has chosen a certain place for my life. And we can separate ourselves away from what we really believe sometimes. And I think what Paul was talking about in this situation, I believe that God is God, and I believe God called me to this ministry, and I believe God led me to be in prison at this time. And that makes all the difference, because I'm living for the Lord, and God has chosen this for the betterment of everything that I've ever prayed for the souls I prayed for my own soul, for everything, God's got something in mind for this. I think it's part of the learning. And when Job had exalted God to be God, God is God, and there is no other. And God rules over these things. He didn't, when the bad things started falling on him, he didn't separate himself from the belief that he had in God, that God does everything well, that what God does is right, that what God is doing in my life is right. God's got a right to do it. God's doing the very best for me that he can. Sometimes it's hard for us. We had in Sunday school about how we get our minds off of, but this is one of those places that it's kind of hard. The scripture, Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for good. We believe that. I think every one of us in here believe that. But sometimes we separate ourselves from the actions that we do. Doesn't seem like that we believe that. We can separate ourselves from that idea that this, all things work together for good. Well, to those that love God and call it according to his purpose. But, I mean, there is a side of it. But we believe that we're there in that. And so these things that happen. So the apostle is in prison. And all that prison has, it's, you're not free to do what you want. It's cold. I think in one place he asked if they bring him a coat. I mean, he is cold and miserable. It's a little discouraging. It's all of those things. But he said, I have learned. I have learned in whatsoever state. I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. Well, Lord, help us to learn how to be content. I think to those that look on at our life, it shows one of the most powerful places of the grace of God, that you can sit in the time of turmoil to content. You can sit in the place of problems and difficulties contented. That you don't have to be flared up and fired up and all that stuff, but that you can be content in the situation that the Lord has put me in. It speaks that I really believe in a living God. I believe that God has put me there, and God will get me out of here in his due time and his due place. The three Hebrew children got to a place, I think it kind of relative here in this kind of stuff. They had learned something. You know how they learned this? They learned it in the spirit of the same idea that David learned how to fight a giant. He stair-stepped him way up. He fought a bear. He fought a lion. He got courage. He got into a place that he saw God delivering him in impossible places. And after a while, he just was more and more and more. Do you know, after ministering for the number of years that I've ministered, I got a much deeper confidence that the Lord's going to help me here than at the beginning. At the beginning, the Lord would always help me. But it took a long time to believe God was always going to help. And God was always not going, God is not going to fail. And David got into that kind of a place with, he fought the lion and the bear, and he got victories, and now he's faced up with this giant. And why can't God do the same thing he's always done? God's going to give me victory over that. And he built up to that, and there was no reason for him not to be connected with his belief. He believed God was able to do it, and he was connected with that belief. The three Hebrew children had a trial before the main trial. They had a trial. If you remember, they was to be in the king's court. They were chosen to be in the king's court. And they had a certain period of time that they were supposed to eat and flourish. In the king's court, they wanted these very good-looking people to represent the kingdom. And so they was to eat the right foods and all these foods. Well, they were forbidden to eat a lot of the foods. And so when it come down to the time to eat, they said, we're not going to do it. Well, this is a big deal, because if you stand before the king and you don't look good and you don't look right, it's going to be problems. But they wouldn't eat the king's meat, and they wouldn't drink the king's wine, and they would not do it. And they eat the things that God had told them to eat in the law, and they had eat it. And when they come before the time to be inspected and look at, those three Hebrew guys look better than all of them. You know, that was important to the time that they would be able, Lord, teach us. I think there's times that the Lord wants to give us lessons. And you can go through the lessons and never get the lesson. You can go through the trial but never get the lesson. Never learn. The three Hebrew children come through that and said, God's with us. God's with us. God's helping us. And now you're going to stand and when the music starts, you got to stay. You're going to have to bow down to this image. No. God, I learned. I learned that whatever place that I'm in, I've learned this. I don't have to be anxious about that. We're not careful. That's what that's saying. We're not careful. Carefulness is anxiousness. We're not anxious to answer you. We're not careful about it. But I'm going to throw you in the fire, contented as I am. They're even going to throw me in the fire as contented as I am. I am contented to be thrown into the fire. I've learned my lesson. I've learned this. I'm contented. We're not going to kick and scream and do all that. We're going to, here we are, throw us into the fire. We're not bowing to that image. We have learned that whatever place we're contented to do the will of God here, because God will deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us the way we think, we're still not going to bow down to that. I've learned the lesson that was given to me, and God wants to teach us our lessons and wants us to be able. And I feel like it's a very important part of the testimony that we have. A lot of times we'll be praying for those around us and all those kind of stuff. You know, the best thing that can happen in that is somebody can see what God's done in your life. Because many times they know you better than they do anybody else. And they can look and say, wow, how much difference that person, how did they get like that? The testimony is things that they never say and never do. Some of the congregation don't remember, but some of the older ones do. Remember Brother Clifford Wilson. I don't know if you remember him or not, Tara. You were kind of younger back then. I know Brother Keith remembers him. He didn't have to go around saying what his testimony was. You couldn't hardly be around him and not get an impression of something about him. I mean, there was something that come out of his about his life that he was devout, and that he had a wisdom about him and a way of carrying himself. And I think he stayed here about a year with us, best I remember. He was here for a while in our congregation, and it was back at the time that I first started doing Sunday school and stuff like that. And I had a great admiration for the unspoken testimony of this man. And I used to want him to say stuff and wonder why he didn't. But I'm going to tell you, when he said something, it didn't take him a lot of words to say something. And when he said it, it was something meaningful. And that was those things are learned in life if you learn your lessons. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. You know, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. Paul was saying, I not only know how to, we say the Christian life is one of abasement. It's one of humility. It's one of lowering yourself. Paul said, I've learned, I know how to be abased, but I know how to abound too. I know what to do when abounding comes. I think Vic had mentioned about how people that think they're going to do something a certain way with money, but then when they get rich, they don't have the same mind. They start doing, well, Paul said, when the extra comes, I know how to abound. I know how when I step up in front of the crowd and the Lord blesses me to lay hands on somebody and they're healed of something and everybody's going, oh, Paul, come and do that. He knows how to say, I'm a man, just like you. He knew how to deal with the thing. By the lessons of his life, he had learned how to do it. I know how to be abased, but also know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. What's he talking about that? Full and to be hungry. Brother Salmon said one time, he said, I am content with what I've got, but not how much I got. I'm contented with what the Lord has given me and what he's done. I'm contented with that, but I'm never contented that there's enough. Hey, Lord, you got something else for me. So he said, I'm full, I've got this, but I'm always hungry for more. I always want something more, both to abound and to suffer need. Now listen, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now I'm going to tell you, that's in direct reference to I learned how to be content. They was worried, wondering about Paul, so he wrote them a letter to tell them, all's well with me because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I wish I could remember the words. I used to remember it, but it was a Primitive Quartet. There was an album we had one time, and there was a song on there. And it said something to the effect that prisons would palaces prove if the Lord was there. And that seems to make such a statement to me. If you've been able to be in the presence of the Lord and felt God's presence in your life, the songwriter captured that and said that if we was in prison and the presence of the Lord was in that prison with us, it would be a palace. And if you was in the palace and there's no presence of the Lord in there, you'd make a prison out of it. I have learned whatever state that I'm in. In closing, there's a scripture that the Lord instructed. You know, all of a sudden it slipped me. It seemed like 6 of Matthew, maybe. I think it's a Sermon on the Mount where he said, take no thought. Take no thought for the mark. Take no thought for what you should wear or what you should. Take no thought for these things of this life. Take no thought for them. Solomon, in all of his glory, consider the lilies of the field, because Solomon, in all of his glory, wasn't arrayed like them. Take no thought for what you're going to eat, because you're much more important than a sparrow, and God feeds the sparrows. Take no thought means no anxious or worrisome thought about the things of this world. Always, always worrying and striving and not being contented with the things that are around you. Not being contented. Always a disruption. Do you know what I have found in life? That most things are relative. Lord help us. Most things are relative. And we can actually get bent out of shape about the smallest of things. I recently was talking to someone, and they was saying some pretty negative things about their past and some of the things that happened in their lives and all that. And I, at the time, I started thinking about Brenda and the children, and I started thinking about the lives that they've had and all that. And I said, of the life that they thought was just so bad, terrible, oh, this happened and this happened and this happened. And I said, yet at the same time, you had parents that loved you, that made sure you went to bed warm every night. You didn't miss a meal the whole life that you've lived. You got to sleep in a bed with covers. You always was in a heated house, had a fire. And I went through all of this stuff and all of that. It's all relative. These people over there, I'm telling you, Brenda and these children and stuff, they never got to have any of that. And they would have never complained about the things that they claimed, because most things are relative. A woman that's husband gets drunk and comes in and beats her up every night, all she wants is for him not to get drunk and come in and beat her up. And you have some husband that don't beat his wife up but leaves his socks laying on the floor. It's a major offense. It's all relative. You squeeze, I'm done. I'm done. You squeeze the toothpaste from the wrong side, you're done. I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. No, you'll always leave it. You come in with your muddy boots on. Our agony many times is not worthy of even being considered in the grand scheme of people's lives. Do you really realize something? How blessed we are. in the totality of human existence, we live better than Solomon. We have hot water, I guess, all of us. We have hot running water. Probably everybody's refrigerator's got something in it. I'll testify for ourselves, we have two freezers that we wonder if we can get anything in sometimes. Two big freezers. We got a refrigerator with the freezer full, the refrigerator full. We're blessed with the things. We're blessed with that. The nights that I go to bed, sometimes if it's chilly, Linda kicks the electric heater on because we can afford to do it. And warm that up a little bit. I crawl in under covers in a bed that's clean. I just take a shower with soap. Believe it. I mean, with soap. You know how many people don't have the luxury of a bar of soap? Paul said, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content. How much more should we be content? Lord, help us to be thankful. And to be contented with such things happen in life. But we have the promise. And God didn't never promise that we wouldn't have trouble. But He did promise, I'll be with you to the end, even to the end of the world. I won't let a trouble come that's more than you can bear. I'll be there for you in this. But I've got to learn. I've got to start learning how to be content with what I have. And I have noticed from my dealings with the folks in foreign places and, like, say, Brendan, the children and stuff. Well, it was very rare idea, but when we was at Vanceburg about that time, was able to get them some fruit. They don't get fruit or vegetables. They eat cornmeal, basically, and rice. And occasionally they get to cook up some black bean type things to go with their rice. That's it. And we had got the benefit to get them some fruit. And I wish you would have saw that. I got the video call when she was cutting these watermelons and cutting these fruit. And see those children on that. You and I don't think like they think. That was a major event that they'll probably never forget. They were so happy. They were so contented. They were such all that they was eating that fruit and had it all over their face. But they was just going at that fruit. It was something that was so. Anybody in here can probably have fruit today if you want it. But we won't. But you wouldn't let it lay around over there. Sometimes I'll look and one of our apples has got a spot on it. Nobody ate it. You wouldn't have an apple not eat over there. So we're blessed. Paul says that I have learned that whatsoever place that I'm, whatever state that I'm in, to be content. Well, I was going to do something today, but it rained. Sure threw me off. Now, rain. It's not that bad. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What do you think He wants me to do, run a marathon? What do you think He wants me to do? I mean, jump over a building and a singing. What does He want me to do? What is the all things? Be content. Have grace. Have the power to love when you're not loved. Be contented in life as God brings it to you. And show the world that there's a God that gives grace. And that we're pilgrims and strangers on an earth, on a world. And the better life is over there. And we're living for the Lord. And I can learn to be content. I don't know what I would feel like if I was actually put in jail. But this scripture tells me that if I learn, that I can learn to be content in there. I remember the story of a man that ended up in prison, a saint man, or ended up getting saved in there. And he made his whole experience about getting other people saved. To the point that when it was time to go get out, he didn't want to get out. He wanted to continue the ministry that God had blessed him with. I remember another story of this guy from India years ago. This guy from India, he heard about the great freedoms of the United States, And over there, you was persecuted and prosecuted and just so much against you to try to preach. And so he thought, what a wonderful land. I got to go to America where there must be a preacher on every street corner and all of this. And he thought, I'm going to go over there where you can live for God free. And he ended up being able to do that. And he came to the United States and he was over here for a little while. And he saw the disinterest that even Christians have in God and the lack of devotion and all of that. And he said, I'm going back to India where you can preach the gospel. I'm going to go back to India where you can preach to people that want it. Because over there, if you dared to do it, there was people that were so hungry that they was wanting it, something. And you could make such a difference. And he ended up saying, I'm going to leave the land of plenty to go preach the gospel to the people that really need it. And he found that he had left the contentment. And that's where God wanted him. And when he realized that, he was able to learn, I can be content right here where God's put me. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.